Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Something had hit me earlier, and then it came up in this chapter, so I thought I'd read it. And I just began with the very first verse, because we're not going to go very far. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, the brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, Greek says in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he's talking about, he was called to be an apostle, and we're called to be saints. And the Greek word for saints there is holy. Same word as with Holy Spirit. We're called to be holy ones, or the holies. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was checking on the Greek in these places, and this happens to read, from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, see, King James has from in there twice. The first from is in regular type. The second from is in italics, which means it was added. But using only one preposition for two subjects means that the two subjects are in unison, which I thought was interesting. Four, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, verse 7 is as far as I'm going to go, because that's the one that stood out to me. Earlier today, as I was in the Word, it just, you know how things hit you sometimes? This came. It didn't hit me hard, it was a truth I could not deny. I knew it was real. And in my mind, I need a revelation of the Lord. I need a revelation of the Lord. And, you know, I think Christians in general tend to assume a lot. And then for us in particular, because we're moving a little bit more, we know a little bit more, and consequently we assume a little bit more. You see. And I know a few days ago I was thinking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do we really believe he's Lord? You see, we tend to accept something in our mind as a truth, but it's not always a revelation to us. Mm-hmm. See, all Christians would say immediately, he is the Lord. But he's not the Lord over the lives of most Christians. Even a lot of sinners out in the world, non-Christians, many of those would say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Lord. But it's not a revelation to them. But when you really have that true revelation that he is the Lord, change takes place. What was it in 1 John 3, when he appears, or when he is revealed to us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's something about a true revelation of his lordships that brings a change in our life so that we're not just, yeah, I believe he's the Lord. It's not just something you know. It's something that has brought a change to your life, and you find yourself really in subjection to the Lord. And all of a sudden, you're not making decisions over your life according to your own thinking. But you're coming under subjection to him. But this thing, it came to me, I need a revelation of the Lord. A revelation of Jesus Christ. And in the sense that a revelation of him as Lord will bring change to your life, just having a revelation of him brings change. Don't leave Corinthians, because I haven't really. I just want to read this verse here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, or when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when you see him as he is, that goes back. You remember when Jacob makes this deal with Laban. Alright, all the ring straight sheep, spotted ones, all these, you know, that don't happen very often. These will be mine, the regular ones are going to be yours. And so then he puts up these rods. And when they come to eat, you know, and they see these rods, lo and behold, and when they give birth, they become what they've seen. It's a principle, you see. And so that's what he's talking about here. When you see him, then there comes the change of being like him. And if the change isn't taking place, then there's reason to suspect that maybe you didn't have a revelation of him. And of course, there's many revelations that you can have of the Lord. You see some aspect of him, and your life automatically responds to that. But then there's many other manifestations of him that you haven't had yet. But now, this next verse, verse 7, Paul says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord. The word there is apocalypsis. King James has waiting for the coming. And that is totally incorrect. It's waiting for the revelation. And I can't remember actually waiting for that revelation. Or eagerly expecting. You know, it hit me. I need a revelation of the Lord. A new awareness of him. Because it's a life-changing thing. It's when Peter had a revelation of the Lord. He said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. You see, it's when that real revelation hits, it brings a change. I thought I would look at a few verses of Scripture, if you'll be so good as to go along with me on this. These are some verses by that same word, apocalypsis, or apocalypse. It's the word that's used there in the Greek, and it means revelation. Now, they were eagerly waiting, is what you said, right? Mm-hmm. Eagerly waiting for this revelation. In other words, they knew the Lord, they're moving in the gifts, but there was a revelation of the Lord that they had not yet had, and he said, you're eagerly waiting there. Now go back to Luke chapter 2. This same word is used again. This is a prophecy of Simeon about the Christ child, I think. Verse 32. Right, King James says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. But the Greek reads, a light of revelation. Right? He is to be a light of revelation to the Gentile. And then Romans 8:19, yeah, and mine again says, the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. But it's a revelation. Same Greek word, apocalypse. Apocalypsis or apocalypse, which chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But the thing is coming to me, how much this revelation is really needed. And we take for granted that we know too much, in a sense. Actually, it's not knowing enough. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Rebecca, you'll read that from your New King James.
And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
Okay. Revealed is pretty close. It's still apocalypse when the Lord Jesus will be revealed or revelated from heaven with his mighty angel. Understanding what that word apocalypse really means, this is not saying that he's going to appear as an individual, but a revelation of him. All of these verses of Scripture are talking about a revelation, not necessarily a literal appearing. Once more, 1 Peter. If you can get a little revelation of this truth, a little revelation of that truth, and you see a little mystery here, a little mystery there, and you start feeling like you know something. Well, maybe I'm the only one that has that problem. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 7. King James again has at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the Greek actually reads not at, but in the revelation. Well, I know what I need. It's not that I have never had a revelation of him, but I need a new one. It's going to bring a change of life. It's like moving from one realm or one level to another. We need a revelation, and I think out of this revelation will come the thankfulness that you're talking about. And as long as we're trying to discipline ourselves or to remember to be thankful for all things, it just hasn't worked yet, has it?
Mm-hmm.
But there does have to, there needs to be some preparation of heart, and I felt that was speaking to me. And this thing of the revelation, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord,